Sometimes you may feel that way, and then you'll realize that the Lord had never left you. He's always there, and I'm just thankful for that. I want to talk to you tonight. Let's go to, if you mind, the scriptures, to Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 through 4. And I want to talk to you on an interesting title of the thought. It may sound like it's a physics class, but it's not. I want to talk to you on overcoming inertia.
Amen.
Overcoming inertia. Proverbs 24, verses 3 through 4. So it may sound like an interesting text to read this through, but we'll see what the Lord will do with this tonight. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall all the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight and we want to thank you for this opportunity to be in your house tonight, Lord. And Lord, I acknowledge in myself there's nothing that I can offer, Lord. But I know that, Lord, you are the one that comes and makes alive, Lord. Lord, you're the one that gives life, Father. And we ask you to give life tonight, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Not just words, but the life that can come into our hearts, Lord, to bring faith, to overcome, to live in this day, Lord. We love you and we thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. And if you don't mind turning to pull the scripture, Proverbs 29, verses 18. Proverbs 29, 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Amen. We want to speak to you on overcoming inertia. Inertia, the actual definition of inertia is a tendency to do nothing or remain unchanged. We want to overcome that. You say amen? Amen. Another example of that, it's a property of a matter by which it continues in existence, state of rest, of uniform motion in a straight line, unless that state is changed by an external force. The power required to overcome friction and the inertia of moving parts. And I'll tell you what, I want to overcome inertia. I want to overcome that thing that can cause you to where you just be what you are. And a lot of people say, well, this is just who I am. Well, don't be that. Don't be that guy. Be the one that God's calling you to. You see, amen? Because you know what? The guy that you are, that's the guy that makes mistakes. But we want to be the one the Lord is calling you to. In the scripture, we talked about the house. And I want you to imagine a house at night and all the lights around and everything is resting. And all is well. All the kids are home. Everyone's got food on the table. And it's a peaceful thing. It's a peaceful thing at the house because everything is at rest. Everything is in control. And I think it's a wonderful thing to see that God is in control of the house. God is in control of the home. And because when God is in control, the bills are paid. They're not fretting. They're not worrying. They're having their way. And I tell you what, I don't know what's happening up there, but we're just going to trust the Lord will help whatever that is for my wife. My sister-in-law is on her way to the ambulance. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, you know that we just received a call that my sister-in-law has been taken away in an ambulance. Look, I don't know what. I knew I could feel something was wrong in the service, and I didn't know what. And then I saw my wife's face, and I knew something was wrong. And Lord, I ask you to go to her sister right now, Lord. You know that we have, our family personally has, Lord, we've lost over 7 members in just the last little bit of time. And you know that our family has endured quite a bit of pain here lately, and I know my wife has endured that right with us, Lord, and she's under a tremendous stress with that. I ask you to give her peace right now, Lord. As she goes to the hospital, give her traveling grace, Lord. Give her faith in her hearts tonight, Lord, that they can believe that you are in control, Lord. Lord, this had to pass over your desk for this to take place. I ask you to go to my sister-in-law right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. I arrest this situation by your spoken word, Lord. I ask you to bring healing to their body right there in the ambulance, Lord God. Lord, I ask you, the giver of life, to come right now, Lord, not just to save their body, Lord, but their soul, Lord. I commit her to you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We're talking about the house that we were, of you seeing a house that is at rest, everything is fine, the lights are out, not because the electricity is out, but because all is well. Everything is at peace in the home. I want you to envision this in your mind. Of a house that is at rest. A house where everything is at peace. And there's nothing better to a man or a woman than to have a good night's rest. Whenever you go to sleep and you know that all is well. And one of the worst things that can cause a person to lose rest is fear. Because you're worrying about your children. You're worrying about this bill. You're worrying about how am I going to get this farm, this seed planted in the ground on time. You're worried about these things. The worst obstacle against a believer is fear. Because it makes you afraid and you're not at rest. But I want you to envision a house that is at rest. But not just individual homes where the home is at rest. But I'm talking about individual houses where we have a house that is at rest. But you know what? We're living in a time where it's easy to go with the flow of what everybody else does, what everybody else says, and you don't ever want to compare your experience with somebody else and say, I'm okay because I'm comparing myself with somebody else. But we need to compare ourselves to a vision, to a God, something that we can stand, something that is steadfast through the times, down through the ages, something that has not changed. And the only thing that man has that will not do that is God's Word. God's Word will not change. That is our guideline. That is our God force. Whether you're on the mountaintop, whether you're in the valley, whether you're in the beginning of this life, whether you've been in this life for a long time, we need a God. We need a vision. We need something that we can hope forth and say, this is telling me where I'm going to go. The wonderful thing about having a vision is it can tell you where you are and it can tell you where you're going. But you can't get to where you're going if you don't even know where you are. One of the biggest things about that is you've got to be honest with yourself. Where am I at with God? Where is my walk with God? Because you know the church of the living God was going through and they were doing fine because they were resting in experiences of speaking in tongues. They shouted, they felt oil, they felt all these wonderful things. But God saw it so wonderfully that he said, I'm going to put the church in order. The only way I'm going to do that is my provided way, which is the way I've always done it down through the ages, is I've got a prophet, and I'm going to bring a prophet down, and the prophet's going to give a sound voice in that hour that's going to declare a clear proclamation of what this vision is. Because a lot of people were resting in their experience. They thought they were okay. They were commending themselves with one another. They're saying, I must be okay because I'm doing what they're doing. I've spoken tongues. I've shouted. I've done this. I've done that. They were commending themselves one with another. But the prophet that came on the scene had the ability to look beyond this, what we see with our eyes, and saw that there were men that were, they were carrying, there was a genuine anointing on a false life. These people can literally prophesy, speak in tongues, do great works, but it goes back to what is the life doing? And that's what we got to overcome ourselves. We can't rest ourselves on trying to say, I've spoken in tongues, I shouted, I went to this preaching meeting, and they laid hands on me, and I felt warm oil. That is wonderful. Those things are great. I don't speak against those things. But it's got to go something beyond that where we are overcoming the inertia. Because you know what is inertia? The best way I know how to explain it is when we turn right to come up the street here, the vehicle was going right, but our body was automatically going to the left. Why? Because the inertia wants to stay the same. It don't want to change. It don't want to turn anywhere. But you got to come to a point where you have to be able to overcome that and go where the Spirit wants you to go. You have to go where the Word wants you to go. You know, the children of Israel, they were told that God has said, I've given you this land. You're going to overcome this land. But God gave them a provided way through the prophet of thinking through Moses, as Brother Tony mentioned the other day, that Moses smote the rock again so he could not go over into the promised land. But who was that took him into the promised land, young people? It was Joshua. Joshua, he said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. And he told Joshua, and Brother Branham said, Joshua is the type of the end time ministry. And Caleb is the type of the end time believer. And you know what? It was God's provided way. And he said, you go and you take this land. And when they got there, the people wanted to go with the inertia. They wanted to go with what the man felt. And they said, we see ourselves as grasshoppers in their sight. But Joshua and Caleb saw something inside them. They were following that voice. And they said, we are more than able to take this land. I'm here to tell you, down to the ages of prophet, he saw people speaking in tongues, shouting, doing all these wonderful things, but there was something deeper. When that prophet came through, he brought a vision. He brought a message to where not only can you have the spirit on the flesh, but you can actually die on the inside where that old nasty character, that nasty hunger, that hungers for the things of the world, it can die. The same miracle that can cause a man walk again that couldn't walk before can transform your heart on the inside where you will no longer be who you once was. Did it come because it was a vision that come forth? But we live in an hour when people say, you can't do it. It's impossible. It's impossible to overcome Hollywood. It's impossible to go through where the woman cannot cut her hair. It's impossible for a woman to go through and not wear the garments of a man. It's impossible for a man to go through and not wear shorts. It's impossible. But I'm going to tell you, with God, it is impossible. It is possible. All things are possible. Because God will give the life on the inside. It is the life inside somebody that makes them live the way they live. And I'm here to tell you, it's the life inside the church that causes the church to live the way it lives.
But you got to go beyond the minors of resting in because I've been healed. I got touched. Those are wonderful things. But what about inside here where something on the inside of you is becoming more like the Word every day?
Amen.
In the midst of chaos. In the midst of calamity, whenever everybody else has fallen away, we want to come to this vision that we mentioned of the house that is at rest. And you know, I thought of this many times over the days, and today I heard a sermon. Another brother said the same thing along exactly how the Lord had been dealt with me. If you look at the tabernacle, whenever they had the showbread and they had the seven church ages, it always amazed me. You know one thing they never mentioned that's inside there, Brother Tony? Chairs. They never mention of a chair inside the tabernacle. They've got the showbread. They've got the seven church ages. They've got all these things, but they don't have chairs. You know why? Because it's not a time to sit down during those times. Because there was a work to be done. During seven church ages, there was a work to be done. But you know what? Once you go behind the Holy of Holies, you know, we have been called. He said, he that overcometh will sit with me in my throne as I sit with my Father in his throne. We are come to a point where we can actually rest. Where we can actually sit in heavenly places. Where we can come to a point where we're nowhere near fretting and worrying, will I ever be good enough? Let me answer that question for you. You will never be good enough. You will never live high enough. You'll never go through the day and say, I didn't make a single mistake. You'll never do it. You know why? You were born in flesh. You were in sin, shaken in iniquity. You are shaken to where you will automatically do the things wrong because you're born that way. That's why we had to have a Savior. That's why we had to have a blood. You will never be worthy enough to do that in yourself.
Yeah.
But he said, we're going to be perfect. How are we going to be perfect? Because he's perfect. We've accepted his provided way. Yeah. And we have to rest in that. We have to come to a point where I am resting in that. I know I'm saved because I have accepted the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not trying another way. I'm going God's way. Cain and Abel, they saw, they heard their father teach them, this is how you do the sacrifices. I say my sons, but you know the true story of the revelation of Cain. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
But he was getting the message of saying, this is God's provided way. You must take the lamb, and the lamb only. It must be a lamb without blemish. It must be a perfect lamb. But when you take this perfect lamb and you put it on the altar, friends, listen to what I'm saying. When you put your hands on that lamb and that blood comes across it and he starts squirming, it's going to be a terrible thing. It's going to be terrible. He's going to be squirming. The life is going to be coming out of him. But as that blood comes out of that lamb, you are identified with that sacrifice. This is God's provided way. But you know what? Cain had a better idea. He said, I'm going to do it the religious way. I'm going to walk. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to be good enough. I'm going to do this. I'm going to sweat. I'm going to do this. I've got calluses. I've got works. I've got things. God does not want your works. God wants you to accept the blood of the Lamb and say, I'm worthy because I've accepted God's propitiation.
Amen.
Amen. That's the reason he would accept it then. And listen to what I'm saying. That's why you will be accepted now. Not because you don't make mistakes. Not because you... Brother Daniel, why do you preach against Hollywood? Why do you preach against this? Because you just said, God don't look at your works. I'm going to tell you, you want to learn wisdom. Here's the beginning of wisdom when you can do that. Whenever you push those things to the side, it's just like having a garden. You got a garden, you got a bunch of weeds inside that garden. You know what will happen? All that water you're giving, every produce you get, them weeds will eat up every bit of that nourishment.
That's right.
Will the sunflower still live? Yeah, it'll live. But it will not produce like it could. Because it's got that other stuff inside there.
That's right.
It's drawing from the life that's been given to us. And that's why it's so important to cut away those things because they are sucking the life from you that's given to you. You say amen?
Amen.
If you go to pulling those weeds out away from that garden and let that light come down on that sunflower and give you water, you know what that thing will produce? There was nothing wrong with the sunflower all the time. The only difference was there was too much junk around it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you today, it's hardest. This is the hardest day of all days.
That's right.
There was a family that sings in the message that they sing a song. I don't remember the name of them for nothing right now, but they sang the song, Is This She? Is This She? To me, it's one of the most wonderful songs in the world. It talks about, I can't remember all the words, but it talks about Paul and how he'd done the great things and all the giants of all the ages. They're talking about all the things they had to overcome. But then they'll see the bride coming out of Laodicea. They say, wait, is this she? Is this her?
Right.
Is this her that come out of Laodicea? It's the hardest of all ages.
Yeah.
It's the hardest of all days. So I felt the Lord tell me this, to tell you this before. I felt tell me to tell you again. Give yourself some grace. You know, a lot of times we beat ourselves up too much.
Right.
Well, we say, "What? You will never be good enough. You're not what you're supposed to be. You're not high enough. You're not doing this high enough. You will never be high enough." Remember that. You'll never be high enough because it's all by the blood. Every bit of it. The reason you will go in the rapture is the blood of Jesus Christ. You say amen?
Yeah.
It's not because you didn't make a mistake today. It's not because you didn't make a mistake tomorrow. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But not just that. Because the other churches can say, "Well, I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ." But what it is, you have a message that God gave us, that he that overcometh, how are you going to overcome? You have to follow the message of that angel. That angel will give you a message. He will give you a vision. And when you feed on that vision, it is feeding something inside you that is what the real you.
Yeah.
This inside here is the real you.
Yes.
This is the guy that don't make mistakes. This is the guy that don't believe, the disbelieve. This is the guy that don't sin. It's this guy inside here, that seed on the inside that you did not put there.
Right.
God put it there. God started this work in you, and it's God that's going to finish the work in you. How many of you want that house, or my house is that house we're talking about? I want it to where the light at evening time, I know there's light in evening time. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but I'm talking about a night of rest. To where the lights can be out, you're not worrying, you're not fretting. I know who I am, I know where I'm going. You know, one of the greatest things in the world is somebody that walks with confidence. You know, you take someone that's confident in something they're selling, if they are confident in what they're doing, it is easy to sell. You know why? I know how to do that. Because my brother says I could probably sell ice to an ice to a what do you call those guys that live in the igloo? Eskimo. I don't even know what they are. I can still sell them. But you know what it is? Whenever you are confident in what you're selling, all you've got to do is demonstrate it properly. Because when you demonstrate all the positives of that thing and you hit the hot buttons of this thing, I'm telling you what, you'll find somebody that can try to hide it all they want to. All I'm looking for is a little smile. That wife will be, she'll be that she's, you know what, come in there. We know who the boss is. 99% of the time it's the wife. Well, all I got to do is show this, but I'm not interested. All I got to do is see one little smirk. I'm like, gotcha. And once I knew that, it's over. I'll hit that thing, I'll sell that thing, and the next thing I know, they're driving down the road and happy as can be. You know, because that's what the problem is, you've got to have confidence in what you're selling. And I'm here to tell you what, there's something that we have got to be confident as believers. We have to be confident in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm confident it will do what it said it will do. I'm confident that it saved me. I'm confident that it healed me. I'm confident that it will deliver me. I'm confident that he'll meet me in my midnight hour. I'm confident that he will not let me fail. I'm confident he's going to take me in a body change.
Man.
I'm confident. And because I'm confident, I can walk in confidence.
Man.
It's time that we push the inertia off and we start walking with the confidence. Wherever the flesh can try to go that way, we say, "Lord God, get back over here. Because you're going where I tell you to go. This flesh is not my boss. My word inside me, God's word inside me is the boss." And we time we got to take that and say, "Mr. Inertia, you're going where I tell you to go."
Amen.
And you know what I'm going to tell you? I'm going to look at the vision. I got to have my eyes on the vision and say, "This is what the word says. What should I do about this? This is what the word says. This is what I'm going to do. What will you do about this situation? This is what the word says." That's my God. That's my tie boast, because I can have confidence in that. But what makes a person lose confidence is they feel like it's not doing what it's supposed to do. Is that right? You try using a vacuum cleaner that don't work very good, and you try it one time and it don't work, maybe there's just a bad time. You try it again, all right, that piece of junk don't work. You're not going to be confident anymore. But it's something in man-made, it can fail. But I'm here to tell you, God's word will not fail. Sometimes it's our perception of the word that's failed and the way we're holding the word. And friends, a lot of times it's because we have got to pull back the weeds in our own life.
Right.
Cut back those things and start feeding the real us.
Yeah.
I always remember listening to a service of Brother Barry Green. I think that's his name. Barry? Isn't that Barry Green?
There's
Perry Green. Yes, Perry Green. When he's on the side, there's my brother Danny. You got way out, brother. That is not even close to my name. Barry Coffee. That's who it was. Barry Coffee is the one I was thinking of. I was listening to Brother Barry Coffee, and he was talking one time, and he said, "You know, I've got these weed problems inside my yard, and I've got the grass, but I've got these weeds, and I'm like, what should I do? I need to get the poison, because he got poison that will kill just the weeds and not the grass." And he talked to an experienced man that dealt with grass. And this was a man that could speak with confidence in what he said, so he sold Barry Coffee very easily. He said, I'll tell you what you need to do. Stop worrying about the poison and start feeding the grass. He said, because if you will feed the grass, it will overcome the weeds. And brother, I tell you what, I had about a Pentecostal shutdown. I was just a shout. I said, that's exactly right. Because what we got to do in ourselves, when we will feed ourselves, the real us that don't sin, when we will feed that guy the word, he'll overcome everything else. But you know what? A lot of times we're trying to kill things. Brother Brandon talked about it this way. He said, you've got a mountain lion. He's trying to attack you. You cut his paw off. He can get you with the other paw. He said, but what you can do is knock him in the head. Because when you knock him in the head, he's dead. And I'm going to tell you, that's the best way the church of the living God can knock him in the head today is feed yourself the word. That's right. Cut back all this nonsense of other things. Am I saying, Brother Daniel, if I watch a movie, I'm not going in the rapture? I'm not saying that. I would never say that. But you know what? I'm not going to bet on it. You say amen? I'm not going to say, well, you sit there and watch it every day and all day and all day. That's between you and God, between them. I'm not trying to say you have to be a legalistic walk, but I'm here to tell you, if that's all you're doing, there's something wrong. Because something, a life inside you should be wanting the word. But in this age, in Laodicean age, it's real easy to go with the flow of what everybody else is doing. And listen, now this may sound critical, but it's the honest truth. Don't compare yourself, don't commend yourselves with one another. Don't commend yourself with people in your church. Don't commend yourselves with other churches. And I'm not talking about denominations. I'm talking about message churches. Don't commend yourselves with that.
That's right.
I must be okay because the sister so-and-so does, brother so-and-so does this, they watch this. Don't commend yourself with that because that brother so-and-so or that sister so-and-so falls just like you do. And they'll repent. But what about when they repent and get back in line? You're still doing the same thing that they fell at.
That's right.
Amen? This guy right here is our number one. And I've said that many times, and I'll say it many times, but the Lord takes me off the same. Brother Tony tells the same thing. Don't look at me and Brother Tony. This right here is the number one.
Amen.
Because me and Brother Tony can fail you, but this will not fail you.
Amen.
This message, this Bible, this vision, this is the clear vision. And the more we can feed ourselves on just this right here, but I'm talking about brothers, sisters, listen. The prophet says, stay with what's on the tapes. Listen to the tapes. A lot of times you may not feel like you're receiving anything, but there's a spirit that's on those tapes, and that spirit is feeding you.
That's right.
And you don't even realize it. Mm-hmm. How many of you, I fed the kids the barbecue this evening. And it's good. We're feeding that barbecue, but I'm going to ask you, each one of those bites, how many of you, whenever you're eating it, you were like, ooh, it wasn't that good. Tell the truth. You take a bite, you didn't feel nothing. You take another bite, you didn't feel nothing. But I'm here to tell you, it was feeding you. There was something happening inside you. It was giving the proteins that you needed, the nourishment that you needed for this journey. And a lot of times, whenever you're feeding it, there was something happening behind the scenes that you don't realize happened. I'm telling you, one of the greatest things is whenever you're feeding on the message, you're feeding on the spirit of that message at the same time. And I'm here to tell you, that's just like preaching in this house here. Whenever you're hearing it, whether it be Brother Daniel, whether it be Brother Tony, whether it be Brother Big Norrod, no matter who it is, whenever you're hearing and you're receiving that preaching, you're not just receiving the words, you're receiving the spirit that's coming to you, the anointing that's coming to you, and that anointing that comes into your heart, the deeper it can fall into your heart, into your fertile heart, your hungry heart, your undiluted heart, where your heart is receiving that word, the more you can receive that, you will walk in victory that week, the deeper you can receive that word. Is that right? The more you can receive that word, that spirit of that word, that anointing of that word, that's how you're going to walk in the anointing of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. But it's not just hearing the preaching. We need the faith. We need faith inside of it. I'm going to read you a quote of what Brother Brennan said. Okay, just a second. Read a couple of these quotes because I think it'd just be good for us. This is the number one I want to show you. And when you get faith in Jesus Christ working in a perpetual motion in your soul, something is going to take place. Sin and sickness will get away from you. Devils will scatter like roaches on a floor in the summertime when the light is turned on. Another quote, Brother Rose says this. God has set all the laws to serve him, both natural and spiritual, working according to his word, regardless of the conditions. Listen to what I'm saying. Regardless of the conditions. I love that. I had a scripture on that. Yes, sir. God sets all his laws in motion. Think of it. Let it sink in now, because we're coming to a healing service in a few minutes. See, God set all the laws in motion, and it must work according to his own word. Are you getting it? See, his word. His laws has to work according to his word. He commanded the sun, he commanded the moon, he commanded the earth, he commanded nature, and they all fall right in line. All of the laws work in harmony with God's spoken word, and the law of life that's in us will also bring forth bring us to a resurrection. It's got to. It's impossible for it not. That's the reason the law of life that was in Christ, when the word was spoke and they said, I'll not suffer my Holy One to see corruption, neither will I leave my soul in hell. There wasn't enough time, there wasn't enough devils, there wasn't enough anything to keep Christ in that grave till his body began to rot, because the law of God would bring the word to pass. And the law of God by the Holy Spirit brings any promise to pass regardless of conditions. So it doesn't matter what your condition is. It doesn't matter how bad your situation is. This situation with my sister-in-law, it may look horrible, but it doesn't matter the conditions, because the law of God is still going to perform, because God is still here.
Amen.
And I just got one more I want to read here. This quote is a little bit longer. But now what happens if the composer, writes something and we find out that it isn't just acted out right? We find out then that there is something that happens. There is something lacking when we see them. He who composed it has made it up and wrote it out, and then the symphony is playing it, hits a wrong note, there's something wrong. The director gave the wrong motion. See, that's what's the matter today, my Lutheran brethren, my Baptist brethren, my Pentecostal brethren, all my brethren from all different denominations. That's what it is, see. You're trying to give a note that hit back in the days of Luther, Wesley, like that, when actually the sheet music here shows that it's another day, see? We can't live the light of Luther. He was a reformer. We appreciate his part, but we played that out. We're way over here, back of the book now, see? We can't play it out like that. Now, the only way you're ever going to do it, my brethren, is brethren of the world, in different parts of the world, I might say, there's only one way for that, and that is for the director to do. He has to get the same spirit of the composer was in that he's got. And when the church, the symphony itself, where the world is watching these signs and wonders, when the church and the composer and the director all get in the spirit of the composer, we've got to get in the same spirit of the composer.
Yeah.
You know what people say? I don't see any more in the message. I don't see the message. They're not in the spirit of this message. But I'm here to tell you, when you get in the spirit of this message, you're going to get the more of an understanding of it.
Yeah.
How many of you say, Brother Dan, I'd like to have more understanding of this message?
Yeah.
Sure. I want to know. So I'm not just going through the motions, but I want it to be to where in my heart I can walk with confidence. I can speak with confidence of the word that I believe in.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? The devil wants you to doubt that, to where he will keep. Brother Tony really tapped on that. Brother Tony, if I was going to preach last Wednesday, that was it. You look at my notes, I got the same triggers that he brought that. How that we've got to go beyond the milk. We've got to go on into the meat.
Yeah.
That's what we've got to go to, brothers and sisters, to where you've got to feed yourself. But if you're not going deeper into this word, you're going to continually go back to want to be happy, feel like you have to repent all over again and get hands laid on you again.
Right.
But we got to go beyond that to where we can have confidence. I saw something the other day, last Sunday. And take you know, Brother Daniel, and how I am. So I think you'll receive this right the way I'm telling you. My family and I, just me and my wife, kids didn't go. Me and my wife were sitting at the McDonald's, and if the young man hears this voice, I'm not saying anything critical whatsoever. Catch what I'm saying. We were sitting there eating our meal, and we saw a family of four that were sitting there at McDonald's, and saw the man that was sitting there, and he was the dad, and he was working at McDonald's. And They were all sitting there, and I saw the man, and he was so tired, he was so fret, and they were talking about the bills, how they're going to do this, I don't know how I'm going to do this, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And it was an absolute feeling of worry. And we could feel it all the way at our table where he was just worrying to death. And I do applications for in a living for what I do. So I deal with applications on a daily basis. And I see when people come in with their incomes and what they're trying to live off of. And I look at what the gas pumps are today. And we filled my truck up today. It was like $73 to fill my truck up today. $73 to fill it up. And I look back and see, this is in my mind, look back to this man who's making probably $10 or $11 an hour. And he's trying to support his family. And he's worried about his family. He's like, I don't know how I'm going to pay this. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'm going to figure out what deal. And my heart went out to this man so heavily because I could see the worry and the fear. And my mind went to the scripture of the house that's not at rest. And what is it that brings a man where he's in that situation to where you are so bound, to where you're so worried about how I'm going to pay my bills? I'm so worried. How can I do this? I'm so worried. Because it's real easy to talk about faith. But then whenever it comes to reality, to whenever you are the one that has the access to your bank account, and you're the one that's got to go pay the electric bill, and you're the one that's got to pay the house bill, you're the one that's got to pay the bill on the doctor. It's real easy to go with the inertia with everybody else at that point. And that faith that can take its flight to where you're no longer walking in that faith that you felt all of a sudden in the building. Where you felt that Holy Ghost month, you felt those things. But it's when the need arises. You're not talking to somebody or listening to somebody that's never going down that road where I think, well, how in the world am I going to pay my bills this month? How in the world am I going to put food on the table? How in the world am I going to be able to take care of this sickness that comes on? How am I going to take care of it? It's a debt that I don't know how to pay. It's a debt that I don't know how to do this. Now, you were shouting in the building a while ago. You're praising God. You're just, yes, I've got it. But then whenever the music stops and you go home and then you've got to go pay the bill and you've got $14 in the bank and you've got to pay a $230 record bill, and I'm just throwing numbers out there, it's real easy to go with the inertia of the flesh and say, oh God, where's my faith now? It's real easy to be in the Holy Ghost bumps. And you're doing great and you're feeling wonderful, but it's whenever the doctor tells you you've got cancer and you've got less than 6 months to live. And during that still, that cold, narrow feeling that comes towards you, the channel vision, and you realize, if I don't have the faith for this, I'm going to die. Whereas before, if I didn't have the faith, the electric bill's going to shut off. Before, if I didn't have the bill, I'd probably have to live on ramen noodles. But we're talking about a reality that if I don't have faith for this healing, I'm going to die. You talk about a sober thought. You say, amen. Mm-hmm. How many remember my friend that got the doctor's note, or the doctor's report, was it last year? I think year before last. Name was Nick. His back started hurting. Lots of pain. Went to the doctor because he thought it was a strained muscle. And the doctor said you got less than six, I think a year, give him a year to live. You talk about a reality check. But we had to start to pray. We just kept praying and kept praying. Well, he's cancer free. Yeah. Let's give him one hand. I guarantee you, he never felt the bump. He said, Daniel, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, I want you to know I'm fervently praying for you. And I told Brother Tony, I don't know what it is, brother. God has got this on my heart where I just can't let it go. And he said, brother, you just keep using that. We keep praying with that. Well, he's cancer free.
Amen.
The doctor says it's impossible. You're going to die. And he didn't have the faith. But the Lord had somebody else provided. But we have to step into that burden. And then we start praying, because whenever we are praying in that burden of the Lord, we are defying inertia, we're overcoming inertia, And it is just like God doing it when you're praying like that.
Amen.
And that's, friend, that's what we got to do, to the point where we are living in that burden for one another. Whenever we have something inside of us, when someone gets sick, someone gets hurt, someone's distressed in the church, someone starts to fall away, we want to be so in tune with this body when we feel that there's something genuine inside of us, a burden for that. And we're saying, oh God, get this out of the church. If anyone starts to slip away, I mentioned Brother Tony, holding Brother Thomas, I'm telling you, this is where it's at. This body, which whenever we are so tightly in this word and we're tuned with one another, you ain't got a chance to fall, because when you start to fall, the shepherd's coming after you. Not this shepherd, but this shepherd.
Amen.
Amen. Let's defy inertia. Let's defy these things. To where in this age, when it looks impossible, it looks like it's impossible to walk in faith in this hour. It looks impossible to walk this era in this hour. But we've got to continue to look at this vision and say, I can't do this, but God can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't move these giants that are in my face all the time, but He can. There's a man that Brother Brown talked about by the name of Shamgar. And Shamgar would, year after year, he would work, he would diligently provide for his house. I want you to imagine this house that was old, probably see through the walls, probably didn't even have windows on, had to put boards, you had to put over that. It was a man that had a poor house, but he was trying to provide for his family. This was a man that was providing year after year. He'd get the corn together, he'd do all the work, all the many nights of worry of seeing, will it rain? Will my crop come out right? Will it do this? I'm here to tell you, you want a stressful job next to a car salesman? Be a farmer. I'm here to tell you, because there's so many things you have no control of. You have no control of the storm that's coming through, that's going to, the hail storm that can destroy your crop. You have no control of the rain that's going to stop. There's so many factors that you can't control. But this was a man that had a house that he was trying to provide for his family. He was trying to provide peace. He was trying to provide a living for his family, to where they could have a house of rest. He was working so hard, and that is why fathers go to work every day. If they're a good father, if they're a good husband, that's the reason they do that. It's not for the money. It's not for these things. It's because they want peace in the house. They want plenty of food. They want the shelter. They want these things. That's why. Is that right? Absolutely. Shamgar worked so hard to provide for his family doing these things, and every time he'd get it built up, where he'd start to finally have peace in the house. And I want you to think about yourself and in your individual walk. Peace in this house. You work so hard. You do the things you're supposed to do. You work so hard. You're praying. You're reading your Bible. You're going to church. You're doing these things. And you little by little, you're getting your crop built up. But year after year, as soon as he got it built up, the devil will let you try to feel like you're getting just high enough to where you're finally like, yes, I'm finally getting that victory. And then here comes the Philistines, come tromping on what you've done. They'll walk through your corn that you worked so hard to build up. And year after year, these Philistines would come through tromping. After Shamgar worked so hard, so diligently to provide for his family, the peace, the food, the clothing, all these things inside his home. He worked so hard to diligently do these things. And year after year, here come the Philistines. He'd see them get just high enough. Here they come tromping through all his hard work that he's done and trying to take all his joy away. And every time he'd hear them, before he'd have a fear that'd come on, like, oh God, here it comes. Ain't that just like the devil? You start getting progress in the Lord. You're walking in the Lord. You're getting victory in the Lord. But all of a sudden, it's like little winds start coming, and all kinds of things are coming that you can't control. And the devil will try to get you to go with the inertia of the flesh and say, well, it's going to be like all the times before. They're going to take everything that I have. Year after year after year, I've done that. Shamgar would see this, and he would build, and he'd see his family so hungry every year. He'd testify, listen to me, family. I can imagine Shamgar would get his family together. He'd say, listen to me, family. We have a token. We have a message. And this Bible says full obedience to the word of God implies us to the token. And I imagine year after year he would say these things. He would tell them, we have a message that God's going to do what he said he'll do. God will provide. And year after year, they'd go so far, and then here comes the Philistines again. Trampling all over it. And every time they go through that, Shamgar would get scared. He's like, oh, he's I've got faith. I've got faith. I've got faith. But as the Philistines got closer, he got more worried and more worried and more worried. And he'd crumble every time. And he'd go with the inertia of the flesh. But there come a time when he had enough. There come a time when those Philistines come through, trampling through there, and he said, I'm telling you, family, I know I may have failed, but I'm here to tell you this word says it'll do what it's supposed to do. This word will it's a token. I'm here to tell you it's going to do what it said he'll do. And here comes those Philistines again. But each time that Shamgar fell, each time he got a little closer to the Philistine before he'd bow. Each time he got a little closer before he'd bow, and finally he said, you know what? I ain't putting up with it no more. Shamgar reached over, found the closest thing he found, an ox goad. Best weapon he could find at the moment, because it was the weapon that God told him to use. He took that ox goad and went to work on him. And he began to whoop on some Philistines. I'm here to tell you, it's time we take our spiritual ox goad of this word and stop letting that devil come year after year of allowing you to have a space of time of victory and start saying, I'm taking victory all the way this time. I'm defying the inertia and I'm going to fight the devil. I'm going to look him eyeball to eyeball and say, you're not taking my joy away.
Amen.
You're not taking my victory away. You're not taking the spirit out of my life. He can't take the spirit out of your life. Only God can do that. But you've got to be able to stand with the word when, as the devil gets closer, to be able to look him in the eye and say, I'm not bowing down to you anymore. Yeah. The devil is a bully. Mm-hmm. Ben talked about how the guys said that he would come to him and the devil would say, boo, and the devil would get bigger and he'd get smaller. The devil said, boo, the devil would get bigger and he'd get smaller. He just kept going, and to finally he said, boo back. And as he said boo to the devil got smaller. He said boo, and the devil would get smaller. Boo, the devil would get smaller. We have got to be able to use the word and have confidence that when that devil is coming close, or the Philistines are coming so close, we can almost smell their stinky breath. We got to be able to not turn to the right, don't to the left. We got to hold the word looking straight in the face and say, I know in whom I have believed. We got to stop scaring whenever we start feeling the winds, the signs of the storm. And we got to remember, I serve a God that controls the storms. Don't look at the storm. Look at God as saying, in the midst of this storm, this one will not fail me. I'm going to tell you, we got a lot of storms that are blowing around. A lot of people are so oblivious, they don't even know what's going on around them. The lady that cuts my hair showed me in her phone. It wasn't something off the news. It was from her phone. She's a Vietnamese. Very sweet lady. And she was very nervous when I walked into the room. She said, Daniel, she said, I want you to see something. And she showed me on her phone. She said, this isn't from the news, Daniel. She said, this is a text message from her family that texted a video of so many people are dying of the COVID strand over there right now that they are literally, they don't even have enough room inside of the funeral homes. They've got their bodies out inside the parking lot. She said, Daniel, this is not from the news. This is my sister's. Show me on her phone. There's so much chaos going on right now where death is going around, where they have no control of. They can say that whatever they want. I'm going to tell you, I think a lot of the COVID is politically motivated, but I'm here to tell you, you better be careful of the things that's coming, the winds that are coming. I'm not saying to walk in fear of that, but I'm also saying don't have your head stuck in the ground like an ostrich. Right now in this world, right now, there are families that are walking under a dictatorship where they can't even go to church. Do you understand? They can't even go to church to worship God right now. You think that's not going to come here? You think that's not going to come here in America? Because you know what? With the inertia of the flesh, oh, that'll never happen. That'll never happen. You know, the Jews always said that. They said Hitler's coming. They said, oh, that'll never happen. I'm going to tell you, there'll come a time when them tanks start coming down the road. But it's not that kind of death that we need to be worried about. It's that spiritual death that's trying to come onto a people, to our people, where it's a spiritual death trying to kill the church. And the most pitiful side is whenever the people are killing themselves by starving themselves to death. Let's defy the inertia. Don't go as the times before. If you're starting to feel the victory in your life, you're getting the victory, and you're taking the land, and you're overcoming the land, don't let the devil make yourself see yourself smaller than a grasshopper. Don't make yourself look like you're a grasshopper in their sight. I'm here to tell you, there's more with us than there is with them.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Come to the point where at the gas pump, who is it that pays our bills? Brother Daniel, it's Braden Dodge, but no. It's God that pays my bills.
Amen.
And God uses Braden Dodge as long as he wants to.
Right.
And Braden Dodge is blessed. They think they're blessed. They're not. They're blessed because God's using them. It's Valdor that provides for Brother Tony. It's Walmart that provides for Elijah. That's what the devil wants you to think. But it's not them. It's God that provides.
Amen.
So if Walmart goes under tomorrow, it doesn't matter. We can rest. Our house can be at rest. Our healing comes from God.
Yes.
So if COVID, another strand of COVID comes here, we don't have to worry. We don't have to fret about that. We don't have to walk in fear of those things because we know my confidence is not in some shot I'm going to take. I got inoculated a long time ago.
Amen.
Yeah.
It was the blood of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right. That's I got my shot. And they didn't have to, I didn't have to have a two shot. It was a one shot. Once
amen.
Was enough.
That's right.
Say amen.
Amen.
I don't have to go back and be rebaptized. I was already baptized.
Yeah.
I've already been burnt by the fire of the Holy Ghost. You say amen? He burned out the old man. Now we have to kill him every now and again. He'll try to stick his head back up. You just have to just push him back down with this old flesh man. And just remember that your brother, remember, how many of you have to stomp your old man down every now and again? How many will you? Absolutely. So would you give your brother and sister grace to stomp their old man back down to the ground again? Amen. That's right, because we all have got that old man. But just remember, that old man is not you. You are the guy that keeps picking yourself up and moving on. Let's all stand. Let's defy the inertia. Let's overcome the inertia. Let's overcome that thing that wants to allow myself just to be who I was and doing nothing. And start applying myself and say, you know, I am going with this message. I'm going with this spirit. And I'm going to overcome the devil. How many of you got an ox goad? If I was going to pick or write a story of a man that's going to overcome, I would have never thought of an ox goad. But you know, God will take the ridiculous. Because whenever you look at the ridiculous, it shows it's not them that's doing it. It's God. Hollywood will make you think that Samson was a big old guy, 7 foot tall, bulletproof, muscles, everything. Brother Brown said he was a little bitty guy. I always just imagine him with one of those haircuts, shaved on the side, had the long hair on the back. That's just how my mind always reminded me. You know, you're expecting to see Samson when we get there, and he's like, oh my gosh, that's him. But he was a little bitty guy walking like this, you know, just a little bitty fella. But what it was not Samson's strength that was going to overcome. It was the Spirit of the Lord that was going to do it. It wasn't David. David wasn't a real big guy. David was a little ruddy fella because the world wants you to think he was a big guy. No, he was a little ruddy guy full of mistakes. But it was when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he could kill the giant. I'm here to tell you, it's the same way with us. It's not our strengths because we don't have any strengths. If you have strengths that you're resting in, you're saying, well, I'm overcoming because of this, you watch, and those strengths will fail.
Right.
So God can show you that it is not your strength, it's me. It's my word all the time. Brother Tony preached that message. He was there all the time, and that's where it's at, friends. He was there in your life all the time. Every time you overcome, it wasn't your strength. It wasn't because you did this. It wasn't because you did that. It was because God was merciful. God gave us grace to you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's Brother Tony. Come on forward. We'll just bow our head for just a moment. Go to the Lord in prayer. And if you'd like to be remembered in prayer tonight, just lift your hand up to him. Let's just go to him. Father, I come to you tonight. And I want to thank you for your grace for the service tonight, Lord. And Lord, I'm talking to believers here tonight, Lord. And I just pray that something was said tonight that would encourage their faith, Lord. Help us to overcome the inertia, Lord, where we get out of a state of not doing anything or just going with the flow. Let us defy those things, Lord God, and do the change, Lord God, and allow your Spirit to move us, Lord. And Lord God, if they're taking steps towards you, Lord, and the old Philistine tries to come back up and try to take their victory again, Lord, may they be able to not sway, not look to the left, not look to the right, but Lord, look that thing right in the face and say, I'm not moving. Because they have confidence in you, Lord. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord. You've seen the hands that went up across this building, Lord. You see the needs behind those hands. I ask you to go to them, Lord. Touch them with your spirit, Lord. Touch this church tonight, Lord.
Yes.
And help us to follow your spirit in Jesus' name.
I think Brother Daniel and I are running a tag team match. You ever watch the wrestlers, you know, where they tag up one another?
Yeah.
One guy worked on him for a while, and he tagged his partner and his other partner. So
there's
a good sermon come along there, getting ready for communion this Sunday. I appreciate that. You know, inertia. Brother Daniel's talking about that, how the inertia's ability. The object wants to stay in the condition it's in.
Yep.
And so when you're just fearful and sitting around not moving in the things of the Lord like you should, then there's a tendency to stay that way. And
yep.
It takes a force that has to be applied upon that to make it leave that state that it wants to stay in and start moving. And so, you know, we must believe that there is a spiritual, because all natural things type spiritual things.
Yes.
So there is a spiritual inertia. And we have to believe that. And so, but the other side of the inertia is that once you get it moving,
yes,
it wants to keep moving.
That's right.
And then it takes a force to try and stop it from moving in the direction it wants to keep going.
Yeah.
And so if you'll get on fire for God, then the devil's going to have to come along and apply some sort of pressure to try and stop that.
That's right.
See what I'm saying? So spiritual inertia, just like natural inertia, it works for you in both ways, or it works against you. It works for you or against you, depending on what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so it takes an effort to get moving in the things of God. But once you get moving, it's kind of easier to keep moving.
Right.
And it's harder for the devil to stop you because you've already got that inertia working for you. And so you gotta believe that and just, you know, trust the Lord and go to Him with that thought in mind. Lord, I'm believing Your word and I'm gonna keep this thing moving. So make it hard for the devil to stop you. We used to play a game. We'd all line up on two teams and put our hands together and we'd say, Red Rover, send so and so over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that other person, I think others have been played that game too, right?
Yeah.
Well, the idea was you come running. And most of the time, you could break through. No matter how hard you held your other person's hand, they could break through. It wasn't their strength.
Mm-hmm.
It was the inertia of them picking up speed.
Right.
And they carried through and broke the chain because of inertia. It wasn't the strength you had on the spot,
mm-hmm.
but it was the inertia you built up over time.
Right.
That helped you bust through the wall when you got there. So that tells you that if you'll spend every day in prayer, if you'll spend every day in the Word, when the devil comes up in front of you with a brick wall, you'll crash right through it. Not because you're good, not because you've done everything right, but because you've stayed in the Word,
yes.
and you've stayed going with God, and it'll help you bust through these things that Satan puts in front of you.
Man.
Real simple concept. Even I think the people over in Africa that don't know right hand from left could understand that. And so those are really good nuggets, you know. There is a scripture, Brother Daniel kept quoting it, that they that compare themselves with one another is not wise. They're one another with one another. I forget exactly the wording, but it says it's not wise to do that.
Right.
And it isn't. It's not wise for you to look at yourself and say, I'm doing good. It's not wise for you to look at anybody else. Well, not wise for this church to look at some other church. But it's only wise to look into the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you want to check yourself.
Yeah.
And so don't compare yourself to your neighbor, because he's right. You might be looking at somebody that you think is upright with God and everything's fine. They may have fallen flat on their face, and you're following them in something that's not right.
Yeah.
And then they can repent, and now you're still going down the road in something that's wrong.
Yeah.
You don't want to look at others. You want to look at God. It's really between you and Him.
That's it.
You want your relationship between you and God to be what you're honing in on. And so he's talking about the grass and stuff. Don't let the weeds choke out your experience.
Mm-hmm.
Feed the Word.
Yeah.
With the Word that's down inside you. You know, Brother Graham talked about those, and I just heard it yesterday or today. I think it was yesterday. Again, he was talking about that church, the vision of the bride. And that bride come through at the end time again. marching. And you know what they were doing while they were marching? They were looking at Brother Branham. They were looking at him and that being that was there with him.
Mm-hmm.
They were watching that. That's what they were watching. And there were some of them that were getting out of step and had gotten out of step and were trying to get back in line. And Brother Branham said the reason why they were got out of step and got out of line was because they got their eyes off of him. They were looking at the other churches that were going, you know, the ones that were bad. They were looking there, and because they were looking to see what they were doing or whatever was going on with them, they got out of step with the word.
Yeah.
Don't take your eyes off of the message.
Yeah.
Don't take your eyes off of what God has done in our day to make this word come alive. Because if you do, you're going to get out of step.
Yes.
And if you've already done that, get back in line. Yeah. How do you do that? Get back to looking over there.
Yes.
at that message that God has sent us.
Yeah.
Amen. So I appreciate that. Aren't you glad for a message? I wouldn't know what to do if God hadn't have brought the message to me. If I had to just continue on in Pentecost, I probably wouldn't even preach. Because I don't know what I'd say. I know that sounds crazy, and maybe I would be, but I'm just that's how much that I appreciate and I what God has done.
Yes.
Send us a message. And so we'll just sing this little chorus, and you can be dismissed. Amen.
Can't you see why I'm so happy? I've accepted the word of the Lord.
Yeah.